Corey Epps Show, everybody. This is Corey Epps. I know I'm a little early on this one. I'm still kind of working out the hardware and all that for this show. So please be mindful somewhat. I kind of wanted to hop on because there are some things I would like to talk about. A couple things, actually. First off, I'll talk about where I've been. If you guys have heard my other shows before, the Evil Teddy Bear podcast, Chasing Greedo, Evil Ted Presents Reruns, Mangaloids, Podcore, Corecast, just a lot of the other podcasts that I've done. I've been kind of in a weird limbo situation when it comes to that. For a while, I had stopped podcasting because my heart just wasn't in it so much as it was when I first started podcasting. It was gone. It was just like, for me, like I had literally at that point just ended Evil Ted. I wanted to keep going with the other shows. And then one of my friends died. And at that point I kind of felt like my heart just was all over the wall with it. So it was not a good time for me, I guess I want to say, or a good, I was really lost at that point. So, it was definitely a big blow to my heart and everything. So I couldn't keep going podcasting. And I've always had people ask me, am I going to get back into podcasting? Is Evil Ted going to come back? Evil Ted tried to come back for a little bit, but it just wasn't the same. And if you guys can hear stuff in the background, I have my window open. I have a small room. So, having the window closed here is kind of like being in a hot box sometimes. Anyway, let's see. We're going to go for this one. I wanted to do something like Evil Ted, and the only way I knew how to post something was off of Evil Ted. So, for that, you know, rounded up a guest or two for the last, you know, I want to say post episodes after the quote unquote last episode that I did with Thomas and Mike, who were my two co-hosts, throughout the years of Evil Ted. After that, after a while, I hopped on a show called Nerdlanta. That was a live show that is done outside of a place called Joystick, where I actually do another show called Enigma with a guy named Peter Akeley. Nerdlanta was supposed to be a Geek Atlanta-based podcast live show. The podcast element never came for that. We've tried, and the element of it just wasn't perfect for my partner in that. And we tried everything on that one. There's a lot of ideas that I had that I wanted to do with the show that he didn't really agree with so much. And there were times where I didn't agree with that stuff. We would constantly get in fights over different things. And then one night, we were kind of in like a wrong space or whatever, because he had just kind of got out of something personal. And so he didn't really know how to, like, I was there to be a friend, you know, and I said, hey, I'm going to be your friend. I'm your friend, so you can talk to me about anything. But I was also the other person's friend too. I was also our other co-host friend too. So I had to kind of balance that out. It wasn't until I looked at my account during this past DragonCon and saw that an ad got posted, not from my card, by the way, on to the Nerdlanta Facebook page. And I asked him about it. I asked him about it on Facebook, and he never hit me back. I saw him that weekend. Not once did he even bring that up at all. So it was one of those things where it's just like, okay, so this is where we're at. Cool. And even during like that time, we were supposed to help out Joystick with their booth, and one thing happened. He complained, and he got out of it. And pretty much I had to cover a lot of his shifts, and we had to find people to cover his shifts and stuff. So it was definitely a wake-up call for me. And so one night after the first show after Dragon Con, we ended up having a huge argument. At some point, he was about to make a joke, and I made a joke during the show, like I always do. I'm a riffer. I riff off of people. I get that from doing this. And he got upset. He just got upset and said that the joke's ruined, blah, blah, blah. And it was the most awkward I've ever felt in that show, ever, especially with the audience there. So after that show, me and him, we pretty much have it out in the back. And one thing leads to another, you know, we're bitching at each other and arguing. And I think at some point one of the managers walks back there and just kind of walks back out because he sees this heated conversation going on. And he says, well, maybe you should quit. And I say, you know what? You're right. I quit. And I remember going home being super upset because I felt like I had just lost a whole family. You know? It was a really bad time. Time after that, pretty much for me. All I did was work and tried to figure out what I wanted to do next. I tried to move on, and I kind of did. I started focusing more on music. I put out my first EP in November called The K-Sides on SoundCloud, if you guys want to go listen. And then even around like this year, he hit me up, and he's like, okay, well, I guess I'll take the high road and apologize first. Which is not the way you want to start off a conversation. Like, it's not cool to start something like that. Like, you're just like, okay, well, I'm going to take the high road. And it's just like, that's not taking the high road. That's you trying to apologize in your own kind of narcissistic way. Anyway, we talked it out on Facebook for a bit, and I went to one of the shows just to see how the show was doing as a sign of good faith. And then just some other stuff happened after that, which I'm not going to get really into because then it goes way too personal. But this is the reason why I bring this topic up. And to tie into the whole, you know, where I've been thing. Past week or so now, I want to say, there has been a lot of things about one of my favorite channels coming out. Channel Awesome, aka That Guy with the Glasses. It has basically been kind of a shit show apparently over there for them, mostly because of the former producers coming out the woodworks and telling them talking about their time at Channel Awesome. Now, I've been podcasting since 2011. I mean, I've been producing my own stuff for a long time. It's been hard for me to try to find examples of, you know, just like examples of good ways to put out content and stuff. You got YouTube, you got SoundCloud, you got iTunes, you got iTunes podcast, you got Stitcher, you got what is it? There's more stuff out there that you can put stuff out. Yeah, Google does like a live thing now. You can go and stream all your live shows straight to YouTube. So yeah. But yeah, a lot of things have come out in this document that they put out called Not So Awesome. I got the condensed version. If you want to, there's a condensed version and there's also a full version, which is about 70 pages long now at this point. I'm just going to kind of go through, but, if you guys know Channel Awesome and a nostalgia critic, then you do know that Doug Walker created the character Nostalgia Critic. Here's the thing. He doesn't own the Nostalgia Critic, though. Apparently, him and his brother sold Nostalgia Critic to a man by the name of Mike Machado, who is the current CEO of Channel Awesome. Apparently has a history of being very unprofessional, aggressive, immature, difficult, and a bit misogynistic. Not a bit, I mean a lot. Sorry. and of course, a lot of the people who have listed their names on here have been former producers. Allison Pregler, and by the way, if I get your names wrong, sorry, it's a thing. Allison Pregler, Kaylin Sadu, Holly Brown, Louis Lovehang, Benjamin Daniel, Dr. Gonzo, Leon Thomas, Anne America, Tom White, Lindsay Ellis, and of course there's some anonymous people on here. And then there's a lot of people. But they've also listed on here as that the management of Channel Awesome was aware of a lot of sexual misconduct and abuse, especially by a guy named Mike Ellis, the CFO at the time, and enacted no disciplinary action until over a year later. Now, if something goes like that goes on right away, then you need to do disciplinary action now, like right then. It shouldn't be like oh, a year later where you're just like, oh well, you know, he's, you know, way there. It shouldn't be that. No. Let's see. They were aware also of sexual misconduct by another producer years later. Again, not acting for over a year. So it seems like if something like this happens at that place, then they don't want to handle it. They want to wash their hands of it, pretty much. They want to take their time. At least three victims have come forward and requested the offender's name not be printed. Let's see. On Doug Walker, the Nostalgia Critic, he's, like I said, he's considered a talent and not acting in any managerial role at all, yet has been involved in many company decisions and knew what management knew as far as is known. He also made a sweeping decision regarding the site that had the potential to drastically affect the income of many producers without consulting them beforehand. The decision that they're talking about is to boldly flee. The movie is about 3 hours long. It's their anniversary special, and it's about basically the end of the Nostalgia Critic. The Nostalgia Critic was honestly one of my favorite characters, and now I don't even know. Like, I honestly, at this point, hearing all this, reading all this, why would I want to support anybody who does anything like this? Especially, like, Doug's not, he's talent. And yet he has big, big, big decisions on Channel Awesome. or input or whatever, you know? So yeah, he's, let's continue. And I'm not going to read this whole thing. I'm just reading a couple of the first ones. Management of the site was poor quality, particularly in regards of communication, organization rule, consistency, payment, and transparency. Multiple attempts to bring serious concerns to management regarding this is where this were met with very few and usually minimal attempts at repair. So management there didn't like to deal with a lot of stuff, especially when it comes to, you know, payment and stuff. Like, a producer should not have to wait to be paid, especially if you're producing for their site and you're bringing people in to their site. Then, yeah, cool. Pay that person, you know? Also, it's really important that you do, have some kind of communication with people, and so everybody knows where they're on line. You know how hard, like, I work in a kitchen. In order for me to know what's going on or what people need, I need them to talk to me. You know, like, even for a show, I need people to talk to me. Let's see, what else? The filming of anniversary movies and crossovers, though enjoyed by many producers as the great opportunity and experience, was also fraught with multiple examples of inadequate planning and unprofessional behaviors, going beyond a sample of lack of experience. Boldly Flee, in particular, was not a pleasant experience for a large number of the cast members. Yeah, so from what I've heard from that one, a lot of the producers who were there had to kind of wait until be on set pretty much and wait in like a small room, sometimes just not even filming that day. And a lot of them had to pay their own money to do crossovers and stuff there, which is like, okay. When Channel Awesome ran a crowdfunding campaign, it is also mismanaged. They were threatened with investigation by Indiegogo. They then canceled the funded show after 12 episodes of a promised 40. So they only did 12 episodes. They might have filmed 40, but they only produced 12 episodes of this show. And it's a game show. It did not look good at all. Like, honestly, I don't understand how it even got to where it was. It didn't look good at all, but something got thrown at it. Channel Awesome also, management also has a history of, threatening to drop producers for saying things that they felt would make them look bad on social media and in videos, even when no rules were broken and they weren't mentioned. They don't like you talking shit about them at all, especially if you're worth it. And I feel like that's something where it's just like, well, we're human. We're going to talk shit about everybody. I talk shit about a lot of people, probably. I don't know. I mean, honestly, and it's more of just like, it's a human thing. You know, like, we're all human. So we're going to talk shit about people every once in a while. Let's see. Okay. And this is the last one. I'm not going to read this whole thing cause I've got to be somewhere soon. In 2013, there was big push by many producers to fix the problems with the communication and address the possible financial concerns surrounding the sudden loss of the Nostalgia Critic videos. A written document was presented to them, but as mentioned above, many points were either ignored, laughed off, or addressed minimally. Which means Channel Awesome does not take their producers seriously, that does not care for their well-being. I just watched Squeers Lupa's video concerning this, and as of, let's see, what did it say? As of maybe like a couple days ago, they had over 40 producers, pretty much. The list that I pulled off that they had online, they have a list of all the producers that were on Channel Awesome. And how many people who have been or were on there at some point. There were about 63 known producers to be on that channel, on the website, actually. And only, as far as I know, from Scooter Shalupa, Allison, there are 13 now, the last that she posted. And this is coming off a video. If you guys want to go to check out that video, go to Movie Nights on YouTube. I checked out some of her stuff, and especially, like, I've checked out some of her stuff in the past, too. It's really great. Like, she's one of my favorite reviewers, unlike the Nostalgia Critic right now. It just makes me wonder how far Channel Awesome is going to take this, and how far they're going to go, and are they going to fix the problem? Like, honestly, and if anybody ever listens to this, Doug Walker, if you ever come across this, even you, Rob, fix your issues. Fix your house. Get shit clean, all right? Even you, Mike, if you're listening to this, get shit clean. Because if this many people are complaining about you, that means there's something wrong with you. And if you're too fucking up your ego to talk about that, then you seriously need to take a really good long look at yourself, okay? Guys, I will put the link to the documents and stuff up. Maybe on my Facebook page, I think. Honestly, I'm with the producers on this one who have worked there. Like, as a worker myself, you guys, and a producer, you guys, I'm with you on this one. I am literally going to Channel Awesome's YouTube page right now. And if you guys can hear me typing, I am going to Channel Awesome's YouTube page right now. And I'm subscribing. And honestly, this really does break my heart to do this completely, but you don't do until fucking house is clean over there, or like something better happens, then you need to fucking figure out, you're not getting my subscription at all. Like, there's no more Nostalgia Critic for me. And honestly, again, he was one of my favorite people to watch and review because I liked his reviews and stuff. And now to find out that there's this much poison there in that site. Yeah. Well, for the first pre-episode of the Corey Epps Show, I promise this will not always be this dark and humorless. But I do hope you guys tune in, and I hope you guys will support me as a producer myself and a podcaster. Hopefully I can bring some good content to you guys and some good topics. The Corey Epps Show is going to be something somewhat the same as Evil Ted, but also way different too. So, all right. For the Corey Epps Show, this has been Corey Epps. Keep on living, everybody.